This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Indonesian authorities have detained a man who is suspected of links to a militant organization. That group is Jemaah Islamiyah. It's being blamed for last week's suicide bombing outside the Australian embassy, a bombing that killed 10 people. The same group is also suspected in last year's Marriott hotel bombing and the attack in Bali in 2002. Now, this latest attack and the investigation come as Indonesia prepares for a presidential runoff election. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Jakarta.
It's been a week since the powerful truck bomb exploded in the heart of Jakarta's business district. But that bomb and fears of another still dominate the news. One major TV channel led its evening newscast with a report about rumors sweeping the capital of plans for further attacks against upscale shopping malls and hotels frequented by Westerners. Another TV station led with the funeral of one of the bombing victims, and the bombing, not the presidential campaign, is still the lead in many newspapers. Indonesia's acting coordinating minister for security, Hari Subarno, told reporters last night he has no concrete information about further attacks, but said the government is now trying to develop a better strategy for anticipating and preventing them. The Indonesian police have rounded up and put away dozens of alleged Jemaah Islamiyah operatives in the past 18 months. Sydney Jones, Southeast Asia Project Director for the International Crisis Group, says Jemaah Islamiyah has been devastated by these arrests, but she argues JI members still at large are now more desperate and perhaps more dangerous.
Unfortunately, there are still a number of people who have expertise in explosives who were trained in Afghanistan and Mindanao, who have the ability to recruit young people and convince them that this is their chance for martyrdom. And you've got a real danger. It's not going to go away in 4 months or a year.
In addition, Jones says, there are signs that a weakened Jemaah Islamiyah is now reaching out to lesser-known ideological allies.
These two people that are the prime suspects are from JI, but we believe there's a good possibility that they were working with people outside the JI structure and that there are other small groups in Indonesia operating under the radar screen who may be able to form alliances with some of these real dangerous, lethal psychopaths from JI.
Despite last week's attack, the third major bombing in as many years, terrorism is not a major issue for Indonesians set to choose a new president on Monday. Many see the attacks as aimed at Westerners, even though the majority of the victims have been Indonesian. And the vast majority of Indonesia's 220 million people haven't been touched by these events. Political analyst Wimar Witalar says this doesn't mean Indonesians are indifferent to the idea of terrorists in their midst, nor, he says, does it mean that the vast Muslim majority approves of the attacks on Western targets.
When my dog has fleas, I don't ask her if you condone the fleas. She hates them, but she doesn't know how to get rid of them. We have a lot of fleas, the Jemaah Islamiyah and all these groups, who run to Indonesia because this is a messy country. But they are not people who represent Indonesia.
In front of the Australian embassy, life is slowly returning to normal. Traffic creeping along at a snail's pace as workers replace glass windows in nearby buildings which bore the brunt of last Thursday's attack. For Dial, an 18-year-old who sells soft drinks from a cart outside the embassy, those responsible for the bombing are not fleas, they are murderers. After the explosion, Dial says, he saw glass from shattered windows falling like rain on the street below. He saw body parts strewn all over the street, and he saw a friend, a security guard in a nearby building, die on the pavement in front of him. It wasn't the foreigners who got hurt here, Dial says. It was ordinary people, innocent Indonesians. Whoever did this terrible thing, he says, should die. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Jakarta.